When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Fan First Sports Network's I-80 Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
What's up?
You know, another day, not making a dollar.
Not making a dollar, got me crying. Yeah,
still looking for a job, so I ain't making no money out of these streets.
Fair. I
guess. Trying to become a house husband, she won't let me. Feel like this was my audition, but like, you know, it wasn't meant to be, I guess. hey, you know how it is. All right, so Big Ten. First of all, before we get into it, and there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things that we should discuss. The season's over. How do you feel?
Crazy season, especially for our like record.
Yeah,
right. It was a very interesting season. Teams who should have been terrible really weren't, and the teams who should have been decent were terrible, which makes sense, but at the same time, you know, surprising.
Yeah, yep. And it's weird. Like, I don't know. First of all, I'm sad. I picked up on rewatching Sons of Anarchy, which is the greatest show of all time. Largely the greatest show of all time because it is one of the only shows that goes 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons that actually has a good ending. It has 7 seasons and the ending is perfect. And I feel like a lot of shows, they miss the point. There's only one season where like the storyline isn't the best, and I just don't like it. It's not that it's not good. I just think it's dumb.
Ah, fair enough.
And it's the third season and they rebound. Like, it's not even like it's like season 6 or 7. And you're just like, why is the show still on? Like, they went a route and it made sense for the show, especially because of all the things that happened and how they wanted to transition the show. Like, it made sense. Like, it wasn't like Dexter with his sister falling in love with him. Like, it wasn't that bad. Man,
that was so weird.
It was just like, it was different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the point is, I started rewatching that again. I picked up my rewatch because I don't have football to watch. Like, technically I do, right? We have bowl games and we have the NFL and that kind of stuff. But like, this is the point where it's like, I watch real people shows again because all I've been doing is watching football. And that's depressing.
You can catch up on your anime. I'm watching the latest Demon Slayer arc.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to do that. I think I'm probably going to go through some of my real people shows first. Once the year starts, I'm going to rewatch Naruto, which is not catching up, I understand. And I'm just going to rewatch Naruto. And then I have to, I need to watch the new Demon Slayer. I need to re-get Crunchyroll because there's something, no, Ibby or something. It's like a boxing one. It looks like a little older.
Yeah.
I saw that on TikTok. That looked really good. I need to watch the Jujutsu Kaisen, which is not.
I need to finish that up too. Or get caught up.
Yeah, and then there's one that is just going to take me a lot to watch. I think I was telling you about it, maybe not. It's the one that's like the thriller, where it's like the doctor is trying to. Maybe I was telling one of our mutual friends. Mm, yeah. It's like a doctor who's trying to help find a serial killer.
Oh yeah, I don't know nothing about that.
It's older. It's like, yeah. And like, you know, for a while, because I didn't really watch anime growing up, I didn't realize that anime was the style and not the
genre.
Mm-hmm. And so I haven't watched much anime that is not what you think of when you action. Think of anime, like yeah, Naruto, like, fantasy, yeah, action, kind or, of.
Shonen Jump type of animes,
right? And so mm-hmm. I got a little out of that a little bit, right? Because I watched Demon Slayer, doesn't necessarily fit that, and some other things, but like this one is like a thriller, like it actually has like a story. It's called Monsters from 04. And it's renowned neurosurgeon Kenzo Tenma grows tired. Wait, that's the episode. What is it actually? Regardless, this doctor somehow decides to help catch a serial killer. It's like 74 episodes, so not too crazy. A couple seasons. So I want to watch that one. I've been wanting to watch that for a while. I just didn't have time to dedicate to it because I'm pretty sure it's subbed, not dubbed. Because it's from 04. It's on Netflix.
Oh, it's probably dubbed then.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, if it's from 04, it's dubbed. Easily.
I feel like I started...
That's stuff from the 80s that is dubbed now.
Yeah, I feel like I started it and it wasn't, but it doesn't matter. So yeah, I have some things to catch up on, but ultimately it's depressing. Like, football is like my favorite sport to watch. I'll probably watch a little bit more basketball this year than typical because I like Ant Edwards and he's balling. And I feel like I should watch LeBron before he actually retires and then I feel sad about it. Sure. Did you see? Okay, hold on. Very quickly. And we'll get to the show. We won't spend as much time BSing before like we did the last one. Okay. How do you feel about LeBron creating a museum?
I'm indifferent. I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's a bit pretentious to make a museum about yourself. But then also, I think Jay-Z was a part of his own museum, and I think mm-hmm. I have the same feeling. Like, that's a bit pretentious. So in that regard, yeah, I don't have a problem with them having museums. I just think it's weird that they are the ones that had a big hand in it being made. Like, they funded it being made. That's my stance on it.
Okay, I disagree. And here's why. I think that as someone of that stature and someone who is Black, if we're being honest, mm-hmm. it is up to you to control your legacy. Okay. And I think a lot of museums, first of all, most museums, not necessarily of people, but most museums just straight mm-hmm. up get it wrong, right? Or the stuff is stolen, or all people have died for all these other kind of things. And I understand that's more art and different things like that. I just think that LeBron is going to be one of the humans that people talk about 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years from now. Like, his life, his impact, basketball, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that him, Jay-Z, Beyonce, these people, because I think Gucci and T.I. and them had a hand, even if they didn't fund it, they had a big hand in the trap music museum. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's important for you to tell your story.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of things with streaming and social media and things like a lot of that gets lost, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think having a tangible thing that you were a part of creating, and who has more LeBron stuff than LeBron? And I don't like, I think that
a rich white man.
Yeah. I just think that it makes sense. I think I kind of hear the pretentious thing, but LeBron is someone who probably deserves a museum.
That's why I said, so I don't understand. I don't have a problem with there being one. I just think it's a bit pretentious to be funding it. That's the
yeah. Point. I hear that. Like, I don't. Yeah. I disagree, but I hear you.
And like, it sounds like if it wasn't his idea, like if it was someone else's idea and they came to him and asked him, because I don't know the full details of it all, of course. So I'm just going off of what like I've known. But so if it's like it was someone else's idea and they came to him and asked him to help, like if it was like Akron's idea to do so, but they just didn't have the full funding to do it, and then he put up a good amount of it, then okay, then I'll bow my head to that. Like, I'll bow out to that. But if it was like my idea and then I'm gonna fund it, it's a bit pretentious. But I don't see the problem with them having a museum.
I don't think it was his idea. I mm-hmm. think it was his the woman who runs his foundation, mm-hmm. who, to be fair, and I really should learn her name, most of the good things LeBron has done has been her idea, which mm-hmm. is why you pay these people. Like, the school wasn't LeBron's idea. It was her idea, right? Mm-hmm. Honestly, the start of the LeBron James Foundation and some of the work that he did wasn't his idea. He made a couple dumbass comments. He was young, but he got a whole lot of flack for the decision. And then I think he said something in Miami. You remember when he was like, you can criticize me, whatever, but you still have to go and live your life.
Yeah, people. He's like, you still like have to go that. Home from your. Pretty much called us all broke.
Yeah, and she like came knocking. Was like, hey, cut that shit out. So I don't know. I don't know that it was his idea as much as it was hers, and the project manager of his building, because he's renovating a building, and he put like a bunch of restaurants and a bar and different stuff in there. And he's like employing the families from his school and a bunch of different things. Like, it's really cool. I was just wondering, because a lot of people were talking trash about it. And I'm just like, Kobe's not here no more. I would have liked if Kobe had a museum, and like, his wife can do it. And I hope that she does. And she would be a good person to do it. But like, not that they would.
It would just have to find the right person to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are going to be vultures about it.
Right. But, like, I don't want Nike to do it. I don't want, like...
I don't want Nike.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if Beyonce... Like, Beyonce probably should have a museum. Who like if Beyonce and Jay-Z did because his is... It's going to end eventually, because it's at the Brooklyn Library. If Beyonce and Jay-Z did a joint museum of their career, I think that makes sense. They're going to be remembered forever because of their contributions to music, especially Beyonce. So it's just, I don't think everyone deserves a museum. I just thought it was like, I don't know. It is what it is. I was just curious because I didn't see a lot of like negative energy about it. And, you know, people hate on LeBron and different people all the time. I was just wondering how your opinion on it. Cause I think it's cool. When I go home, I'm probably going to go see it. I'll probably, whenever I decide to have kids, I'll probably take my kids to go see it. Like, I just think it's cool. And I think you get to control your own narrative, and not let someone else profit off of you and your image. I guess that's fair. Which is why I think it's important. And I need to be careful when I say this, not that anybody's listening. Hopefully not everyone does that, because not everyone deserves a museum, let's be honest. But there are some that do, and I hope that, like, I would love if Beyonce and Jay-Z did a joint museum. I would hope that some of the, like, if Snoop Dogg, because I like his vision, if Snoop Dogg did a museum for Death Row, and like West Coast hip hop, because I don't think Snoop Dogg needs his own museum, but like if Snoop Dogg and some hip hop historians did like a Death Row West Coast kind of music, I think that'd be cool. I think we need to see some more of that kind of stuff, because things are getting lost.
I feel like there might be something like that.
I haven't heard of it. I would hope so, but I haven't heard of it. And things are getting lost in life. Like, I mean, this has nothing to do with rap and plays a museum, but like Bruce Willis has dementia now, right? Like, and that generation specifically is some chatty bastards, and they be changing the narrative. So someone needs to tell the story, and not that 45-year-old man on a podcast microphone. I think we're gonna lose some of the history and the narrative if we don't do it ourselves. And I think
that's fair.
That is something that people should do. I was just curious. We didn't talk about it on here. Last thing, very like, you know, we don't have to talk about it, but like, I can't believe that dude snitched on himself on a podcast about killing Tupac. Like, shut up.
Wait, what?
The dude, you know, they got the dude that killed Tupac.
No, I didn't see that.
Where do you be at? Okay. All right. Jeez, I wasn't.
Listen, I've been trying my best not to be on social media. Like my phone screen percentage went down like 28% over this
past. It's like a month ago though. Okay. All right. Really quickly. So, basically, as it's come out recently, they figured out who killed Tupac, right? And so basically, what happened was, there. First of all, people think Diddy paid for it. With some other thing you're hearing about Diddy, okay.
Easily did that. Yes.
So basically, there was. First of all, Tupac wasn't a gang member, no matter what the fuck he tried to do.
Oh, his, yeah, we all know.
His thug life was stupid. It was dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like thug, like something about educating. Like, shut up. That, like, there are real thugs out here. People were dying, Tupac, and you were cosplaying thug, bro. You were cosplaying a thug. Shut up. Regardless, there was some beef, right? Death Row was Bloods. There was some beef with some Crips in New York or whatever, people that Diddy was with. Things happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a fight that happens, whatever, whatever, whatever. Yep. They kill Tupac. So, supposedly, a lot of people know who killed Tupac, and they've known for a long time. The thing is, they could never prove it, and within a year or two, he died. He got murdered.
The guy who did it?
Yeah, the guy who pulled the trigger.
Oh, damn.
Okay, so it's like, they knew who did it, but like basically everyone in the car but one person got murdered over like within 5 years of Tupac dying.
Oh, that makes sense. Yep. So this, up some loose ends.
Yeah. So this guy was the lieutenant, right? He was making some decisions. He was a boss.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who actually pulled the trigger was his nephew.
Okay? Oh, okay.
This dude. So he didn't pull the trigger, but that's not how murder works.
No.
If you order it, or if you're involved, you can go to jail for murder.
Easily.
So they kind of don't really do anything about it because everyone who pulled the trigger is dead. This dude goes on multiple podcasts talking about why Tupac died. And he's like, I'm not going to snitch on myself, but, you know, I was a shot caller and whoop-de-woo and Tupac did whatever. And man, it's just like, and then he goes into details. Like, I'm not going to snitch on myself, but Suge Knight went crawling in the back like a baby. He was crying. He was like,
how Tupac, do you know so much?
He was like, Tupac was shaking like a little girl. That's not what he said, but I'm trying not to cuss so much on
you. Right.
Like, Tupac was shaking like a bee. Dog, he was getting shot. What was he supposed to do? He's supposed to be I'm tough. Like,
I'm real tough, real high alert.
He was getting riddled with bullets. So, but it's like, why do you know this? He was like,
why do you know this?
He was jumping. He jumped into the back seat. He was scared. You were shooting him. Okay, so he goes like Vlad. I think one is Vlad because Vlad is the one where everybody be self snitching, right,
bruh?
So he goes on Vlad.
Vlad is the fan.
He goes on Vlad and he goes on a couple other ones and he just keeps sharing little details. And then he says something. I don't know what he said, but whatever he said was enough for essentially them to get a search warrant. And they got a search warrant and they found a gun or like something else that like actually tied him to it, as well as basically his confession on podcast.
Why do you still and have something from like almost 30 years
ago? Yeah.
Definitely 30 years ago.
Yeah. And now he's in jail. And he was just like, and they were like, so I think it was actually Vlad who asked this. I'm going to have to send you some of this stuff. I think it was actually Vlad who asked this. He was like, he's like, so, like, are you not worried that you can go to jail or you can do whatever? He's like, oh, you know, I'm not snitching on myself. And, you know, I've lived a long life. Something. And they always bring up God, right? I'm not talking about nobody's religion. Don't get offended, people. They always, only God can judge me. That is not true. There's a man or woman in a black robe and a gavel and 12 people of your peers is about to judge the fuck out you, dog. And you're older. You could just not be in jail. Like, what are you doing? And it's just like, people love Tupac.
Yeah, you fucked up.
You think you safe in jail?
You fucked up for real. I don't understand. Some people just love telling them. They just can't keep their mouth shut.
And it happened in Vegas. So it's not even like, oh, I'm an OG, so I'm going to be protected. Maybe if you went to jail in Cali, I don't know how protected you're going to be in Vegas. I don't know. That's none of my business, but yeah.
Why are you just going around telling on yourself?
But the thing is, according to the cops, and you know, people be lying, but according to the cops, they knew he was in the car. But because they couldn't actually get the dude who pulled the trigger, they definitely couldn't do him. And it's like, it didn't happen in a commission of a crime. Like, I don't know how much people know this, but like, if you rob someone and that person dies because they died in the act of a felony, everyone can get a murder charge. But yeah, they weren't committing a felony, so the only charge is murder, and they can't get him because they didn't have enough evidence, if they didn't have enough evidence to get the person who pulled the trigger. So like, he was never gonna go to jail for that.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
And then he snitched on himself. So
I just gotta tell everybody.
Yeah, so they said, what do they be saying, Chatty Cathy's? These old men, bro, they be chatty, they be on there talking about murder, they be on there talking about sexual assault and raping women and like be just all this stuff. It's like, do you know what you're saying? Like, why are you talking about this? Like, yeah, she was 16, but she had a nice body, bro. What?
What are you talking about?
What are you doing? Yeah, so I would give up this podcast forever if we could stop these people from getting on podcasts.
honestly,
you're making it bad for us normal people, man.
Like, just want to talk about normal shit.
They just be like relitigating old beefs and stuff. Like, you know how many people talk about 50 Cent on podcasts? Like, 50 got more money than you. Let it alone.
Let it go.
And 50 will still beat you up. Like, he was a Golden Glove boxing champ. That's why you're on podcast. That's why you didn't see him when he was actually in the streets. You had the time. He wasn't hiding, bro. Why are you still talking about it? 50 not talking about you. He's working on 7 Power series. Like,
honestly, he's like FNAF, but for like gangster shit.
He's like, who?
FNAF, Five Nights at Freddy's. There's so many side stories and other shit and books and shit that I can't keep up.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, bro, it's a horror game.
Oh, okay.
Horror game. Yeah.
Okay.
There's so many ins and outs that you can't keep up for real. Like, jeez. I swear Power got like eight different shows, yep, and 6 books.
yeah just like you said, for gangster stuff. So anyway, 20 minutes into the podcast, well, let's actually, just because we're supposed to be taking it early, let's take a commercial break here and then we'll actually get into this stuff that we're supposed to talk about. So if you listen to the first 20 minutes, we appreciate you. We will actually talk about Big Ten football now. We'll be right back after the ads. What's good, everybody? Welcome. This should be the official start of the I-80 football show. We're not talking about Tupac and whatever. Okay, so... No, that's just a terrible transition. I shouldn't say that.
Into Indiana?
Yeah, something that should be said in real life.
Oh. Wow.
Speaking of the other things being fired...
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said it. Nope. It's cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Oh god. Okay. Indiana.
That's gonna be the thing God shows you.
It's like, you know.
Remember this day when you was recording your podcast
and you said, why would you say that?
You're right.
Just send me. We don't even have to have the conversation, bro. Just send me. I know.
Just send me.
I know what I did.
I know who I am.
Okay. Indiana fires Tom Allen. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I couldn't do another year, bro. I couldn't do another year. And the sad thing is, I'm still not happy about it because it's bad process.
Mm.
And let me tell you why it's bad process very quickly. Okay, so the college football calendar is messed up. Everybody knows that right now. Transfer portal opens this week. Championship games are this week. Bowl game, the final playoff is coming. Bowl game is coming. And then you also have signing day within like 2 or 3 weeks. If you want to save your recruiting class, yeah, way too much. They need to change it. Like, early, this is an off-season conversation. Early signing day needs to happen in August.
Yeah.
It needs to happen before the season because you're early and committed. And then if not, you can wait till February. Or it needs to happen in August or February. Like that's it. It needs to be out of December. There's too much happening here.
Yeah, there's too many bowl games and stuff going on for all that.
Yeah, but because all of that's happening, you need to have your head coach pretty quickly. That's why Michigan State already has theirs. That's why Texas A&M already has theirs. So you fired your coach on the same day or the day after Michigan State hired their head coach. Mm-hmm. Granted, Michigan State's situation is a little bit different. They had a lot more time. But when you know you're going to fire him, you fire him in week 10. Well, technically it's week 11. You fire him 2 weeks ago or you fire him last week, especially because, like, what if they would have beat Northwest? Who'd they play? What if they would have Indiana?
Who did Indiana play?
Purdue. That's the rival. Okay. What if they would have beat Purdue? You're going to fight, like, and you should, but are you going to fire him after he beats your rival? You gave him a chance to beat the rival and wonder, like, does he save his job? And it puts you a week or two or three behind the ball of hiring coaches. Sure. Is that the worst thing in the world? No, but everyone knew he needed to be fired.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. It wasn't like we need to see the last game to see what happens. The decision should have been made. And so now you're behind the time to go get a coach. And so you like there's like 12 or 13 people already of their roster in the transfer portal. You can't save them no more.
Yeah, there's no way you could bring people in because no one wants to come into a mess like that. So,
and it's not going to be an easy job to hire for. So by the time you hire someone, you've lost your recruiting class. You've lost the transfers on your roster. You can't get in the transfer portal. You just lost a whole year. A whole year by being two or three weeks late.
Yep.
It's bad process. Everyone knew he needed to be fired. What did you need the extra 2-3 weeks for?
Very true.
But he got fired, which is good. That's good for them. That's good for that program. This is weird to say, but I think everyone is off my list. Everyone that I'm serious about that had a chance of being fired. I think we got him fired, Dante. Congratulations. That's a hope and a dream. Like they're not like.
We got halfway there.
Yeah, they're not gonna fire him. All of the realistic options are gone. So
true.
We did good. Congratulations.
We got him out of here. It only took what, 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah. 3 years.
Not bad.
And a lot of them were last year. I think we did good. Our influence is growing. Our influence is growing. Speaking of Michigan State, Michigan State hires Jonathan Smith. Jonathan Smith was the coach of Oregon State. The Big Ten, oh boy, the Big Ten is decimating the Pac-12 in every way possible.
Yep.
They took four of their four best schools, you could argue. Mm-hmm. And then they took the best remaining coach. It wasn't much of a conference, but they're trying to save the conference. They took the best remaining coach.
They're still trying to do that? I thought everybody was just going to leave.
No, it's dumb, right? Mm-hmm. But basically, this is what they're, from my understanding, this is what they're trying to do. In name, the Pac-12, in name, is it what they call an autonomous conference. So they get to make their own rules a little bit with like the Big Ten, SEC, some of the other kind of stuff. It's actually like they voted to do that. Like they have a little bit more control over their rules. And they also have an automatic bowl bid, like basically the prestige of the conference. And so their hope is that you can't force the conference in title to have less prestige. Right. Yeah. So even if all the schools suck, you still have to give the conference what they've always had. So for the schools there, they want to, the two schools, Oregon State and Washington State, they want to bring schools into the conference so they keep the protections that they had under the Pac-12. So, for example, the Mountain West, if they took all the Mountain West schools and it was under the Pac-12 banner, they would have more rights and rules and like things that more power essentially than if they went to the Mountain West. It's the same grouping of schools, but it's Pac-12 as a historic conference and as a Power Five.
It's a bringing up instead of going down.
Right. So they're fighting like hell to keep it, because as soon as it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, it would make more sense for the Mountain West schools too, honestly.
Maybe. It doesn't seem like it, because they're not jumping for it, but damn, that's what they're trying to do. That's in the weeds. I don't know as much about that. I haven't done all the like research into that yet. But like, they're having court cases over it, and they're doing a bunch of stuff. They're trying to save it. It's one of those things where this coming year, it's just going to be the two of them. Like, it just is what it is. They're probably not going to get schools added until 2025 and 2026. So it's going to be a long process. But if they can keep the name,
you know, do they still just play everybody they normally play?
So they're going to do a schedule.
The schedule should be already out, right?
Yeah. So what they're talking about is doing a scheduling alliance with the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. So they'll play Mountain West teams to get their schedule. And then they'll do kind of what Independents do. Like, so they probably already have two or three games, right, out of conference games. And then I think both of them agreed to continue to play their rivals. So I think they're both still going to play Oregon State and Oregon and Washington. So that's like 3 to 5 games right there. I don't remember how many out of conference games they have. And then they're going to play the Mountain West to make up the other to get to 12.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And basically just to give them some time. Okay. But yeah, the Big Ten is decimating them. Jonathan Smith is a good coach. Oregon State is not a team that should be good. And in the last, and it's just not. And the last 3 years, he went 7-6. Last year, he went 10-3. And this year, he went 8-4.
Not bad.
So Michigan State would take that. And so they did. And you have more money, you have more prestige, you're closer to talent. You have the Big Ten branding. So their hope is that he can do better. And the thing that I like about it is he's a football coach. Like, it's nothing pretty. It's not a flashy name. It's not, you know, all of these things. But like, this is a real deal football coach. He took Oregon State from zero and made them into a perennial team, won 10 games at Oregon State. And he has, again, not the name, the flash, but he has the substance of what they need. And you never know, anything can happen. But he doesn't seem like a coach that's going to like put you into scandal.
Yeah, fair enough. That's true.
So yeah, I think it was a pretty good hire. In my opinion, there hasn't been that many hires so far, but they have the best hire.
There's only going to be like what, two more hires?
Well, I when I say best hire, I meant nationally. Unless someone else gets fired, which at this point I doubt it, there's only going to be one more. It's just going to be whoever Indiana gets.
Indiana has.
Okay. Yeah, and Indiana is looking at Kane
Walmart. I was about to say, I guess a new offensive coordinator for Iowa if they don't keep this.
So Iowa needs a new offensive coordinator. Penn State needs a new offensive coordinator. There's going to be some coordinator stuff, but there's not going to be any head coach. So Indiana is looking at Kane Womack, who is a former defensive coordinator, who's a head coach at Southern Alabama. They're looking at Justin Fry, who is an alumnus, and he's the offensive line coach at Ohio State.
Okay.
And they're looking at a couple other people. The last bit of news, Tua Tagovailoa became the Big Ten all-time leading passer with 11,256 yards.
Sheesh.
Yeah. I think he's been a starter for 4 years.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, so he's averaging almost 3,000 yards a season.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
And I think it actually would be 3,000 yards. I think he missed a season, or he missed
some games. He might be able to miss in games.
I think if it was like a full, like if you aggregate it across a full 12, it would be like essentially 3,000 a season. I think there was a season that he missed multiple games, and then last year he missed like two or three, something like that. Yeah. 11,256. That's great. Well, he had a great career. Right. He had a great career.
You think he'll be a starter in the NFL?
No, not at all. I don't even think he gets drafted.
Fair.
And honestly, he might get drafted, but I think I have a – it's hard for him to – and I don't want to do the work on this, and I have nowhere to post it because I don't have like my own site or blog or anything like that. But I really want someone to write an article on all the changes in college football with quarterbacks, right? So like because of the extra year of eligibility and all of that kind of stuff, there are so many like fifth, sixth, 7 year quarterbacks, and there's going to be a mass exodus. And like the reason why I thought of this is a bunch of people are trying to get a quarterback to transfer in Ohio State, and I'm like, there's no, like, there's no real proven quarterbacks that you're going to want to transfer in. That was last year that you got a lot of that, right? Like Notre Dame got a new quarterback in the transfer portal. Washington and Oregon both have Heisman contenders, and they have a chance to make the playoff off of fifth and sixth year quarterback. Jaden Daniels at LSU is a Heisman contender. He's a fifth or sixth year quarterback. Florida State, good this year, fifth or sixth year quarterback, and Jordan Travis. All of these schools, a lot of these schools who are surprising us or whatever, they're doing it off of these transfer quarterbacks, and they're all leaving because they either had really good years and so they're not going to use their final year of eligibility, or they have no more eligibility left. And so I think that's just going to be very interesting. But to the Tulua point, he's lower on the ranking of all of those guys. A lot of those guys are going to be in the NFL draft because they don't have eligibility. Most of them aren't first round picks. So off of just the fact of how many people are coming in, I think it pushes his stock down and down and down and down, where I'm not even sure he gets drafted if he was even a draftable quarterback before that.
Fair.
So I got the time, I don't have a job, but I don't have the the money or the publication to write that article. So, but I think it is very interesting. College football, I mean, there's gonna 2024 is there's gonna be so many changes between all of the names that you just knew, like you've just known forever.
No longer
being college football, the conference is changing, the 12-team playoff. All of this stuff, it's gonna be crazy.
A lot of new stuff. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be exciting.
Sure. Very, very interesting. Oh my god, our picks next year is gonna be tough. Because it's like, what do you do with Oregon and Washington? They're both gonna have new quarterbacks, and it's their first year in the Big Ten. USC for new quarterback, first year in the Big Ten. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with the Ohio. I'm fairly positive Kyle McCord will be the quarterback again next year. That's a conversation that
we'll have later, probably. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but like all these new coaches, new coordinators, like it's going to be very, very interesting for sure. I think that's it on news. I think we hit all the news. Okay, so Michigan, Ohio State.
I kind of got the score right.
Yeah, you said
30-27 Ohio State. It was 30-24.
Yeah. Did you go to 27? Yeah. I thought you did 24. Because you were gonna do 25. And I'm like,
I'm gonna do 25. That can't be done. Yeah. So I said 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 27.
As I have so many thoughts. I want to just talk about the game first. Very good game. It was very clearly a game of two heavyweights, of two really good teams with great defenses and offenses that were good but not great. Just battling and just trying to figure things out. It was a lot of punches, a lot of haymakers, a lot of counters, right? Like one team goes on a roll and then this happens, and one team goes up, which is Michigan, and then Ohio State immediately comes back. And all the points where you're just like, the momentum swings, like all the points where you're like, okay, this game is over. It's like immediately get a touchdown. Well, if this happens, the game is over. And then it happens, and then something else happens. I mean, it was a very good game. I think that as far as Big Ten games, I think it's a classic. I think that that's going to be a game that goes on the Big Ten network in like five, 10 years that they replay. It's one of the better games of the year, especially because most people like.
It's probably one of the better games of the year, especially in the Big Ten, because of how many teams didn't really play anybody, especially these two didn't play much. Like Ohio State had a good one way back earlier in this season.
But also, a lot of the best game of the years are just like no one has defense. Like, no, like this was a real deal football game. It was a chess match. Like, it's not fun to watch Ohio State play. I'm a fan and I'm stressing over everything. But from the outside, if I step outside of my body, it was a really fun game to watch. And I think that's what you want the game to be. As far as like watching it, right? Mm-hmm. You do all this build up, you do 2 and 3, you do one of the best games of the year. And so all those games are a little disappointing when it's just like 46-10 and it's not close. Yeah. So it was a good game. As far as the particulars, man, I'm tired of Ryan Day.
I thought it was coming. I knew
I'm tired of Ryan Day. But okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I've had time to think. There? That's not the point.
Okay.
That's not the point. All I actually do have a name, by the way, but that's not the point.
Okay.
I'll address that very quickly. When they hired Ryan Day, mm-hmm. Ryan Day wasn't a name.
True.
So I hate the narrative of who's out there because no one knew if Ryan Day could win at Ohio State and they gave him a chance. He'd never been a head coach before. He'd only been there for 2 years as offensive coordinator. True. And they named him the heir apparent at one of the 2-3 best jobs in college football. So I hate the who's out there because you didn't know he was out there.
True.
You can't tell me that Ryan Day is the only person that can win at Ohio State. You just can't. And it's not my job to give you names. I can give you names, and not you particular, the royal you, right? But people keep saying that, and it's like, but you didn't know Ryan Day was going to be good. He was a first-time head coach. He'd never been a head coach on any level before, and they trusted it to give him the keys. You can't tell me that there's no one else out there that could do better than what he's doing. I just don't believe it. I think I think it's a bad mindset, and I want to credit him, right? He's a good coach. I like him as a person. And I've said this before, he would be a great coach at Penn State. He'd be a great coach at Michigan State. He'd be a great coach at any of the ACC schools. He'd be a great coach at Texas A&M, all these schools, and this is why, right?
Where the spotlight isn't as bright.
Yeah, they want to be good, mm-hmm. but they don't expect national championships every year. And here's the thing. You can say it's crazy to expect national championships every year, and every year is more to be in contention of one. Mm-hmm. But there are programs who can compete for a national championship every year, and Ohio State is one of them. And as the years go on under him, they're falling. They're just taking a step down, a step down, a step down from that level where they're going to be at the level of a Penn State. And that's not where Ohio State is. Ohio State's never been Penn State. They've mm-hmm. always been a step above Penn State.
Very true.
And so it's an erosion of what the program can be to accept a standard below the expectation. The 56 wins are cool, but Ohio State hasn't won a Big Ten championship in 3 years. We don't do that. Like, just straight up, Ohio State doesn't go 3 years without a Big Ten championship. Forget the national championship. He hasn't won the Big Ten in 3 years.
Hey, I mean,
it doesn't happen at Ohio State. That's the thing.
You can also give credit to the other schools.
No, the other schools aren't paying him $10 million to win the Big Ten. It's not about.
I don't know how much Jim Harbaugh's getting paid, but
Ryan Day makes more. It's public knowledge. Like, it's out there. Ryan Day makes more. But you can't judge Ryan. Like, yes, technically, Ryan Day is losing because Michigan is at the best place they've been in 3 decades. That is true. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he hasn't won the Big Ten in 3 years. It doesn't take away from the fact that he had to get help to get into the playoffs, and he needs help again this year to get into the playoffs. And I just think it's really only, it's actually only 2 games. He just needs Texas and Florida State to lose, and they're in. But
there's other one loss teams.
They'll get in over all of them. Their losses to a playoff team. It's the Big Ten. The Big Ten and the SEC have the two best, right, like prestige conferences. Their loss was a 6-point loss to the number 2 team in the country, who has an argument to be the number 1 team. You beat Ohio State. That's a better win than anything Georgia has. They're not going to do it, but you have that argument. And you've beaten Notre Dame, Penn State, who are top 15 teams. So they would get in over any of the other one loss teams. And is that, you can question if that's fair, but they would get in. So, but it's just, and the biggest frustration about it, right, is he's in all of the games for a time. Yep. And the things that cause him not to win the game are things that fans have identified the year previous that he didn't fix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of the biggest factors in the game is our special team sucks. He has a full-time special team coordinator that we've been asking him to fire for 2 years. One of the biggest swings in the game, right? He punts on the 46. That's fine. Okay? I don't like it, but it's not on the other side. It's a smart decision to punt. His punter kicks a 33-yard field goal. He punched from basically midfield, mm-hmm. and Michigan, and the ball doesn't get inside Michigan's 20. Did Ryan Day kick the ball? No. But you knew your special teams unit wasn't good for years, and you didn't fire the coach. That punt unit has had three god-awful miscommunications. Where it's literally things that, like, as a football player, you should be like, coach doesn't want me to do this. Why would we run a fake from the 20-yard line? Like, even if that's what I thought, why would we run a fake from the 20-yard line? Let me, like, either just change this or let me double-check instead of running a fake from the 20-yard line and giving them the ball on the 20-yard line. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, that don't make no sense. Yeah,
that
doesn't really add up.
But then Michigan punched the ball. Literally right after that, Michigan punched the ball fucking 70 yards, right? And then later on in the game, Michigan punts the ball, and it checks up at the freaking 2. And those things matter. If you punt the ball and Michigan gets it on the 5 with Ohio State's defense, do you think maybe they do, but they didn't have to all game? What is the percentage chance that Michigan drives 95 yards in Ohio State? It's slim, just like the chance that Ohio State drives 95 yards on Michigan. So if Michigan punts the ball to the 2. And Ohio State punts the ball to the fucking 26. That's an advantage for Michigan. That's a Ryan Day problem, because you're hiring you're employing a full-time special teams coordinator, and your special teams has been one of the worst in the country for 3 years.
Fair.
If 2 of those punts go inside the 5, does Ohio State win the game? I don't know, but you have a better chance. You have a better chance if you can punt the ball. Michigan kicks a 50-yard field goal, drills it. Ohio State kicks a 50-yard field goal, misses it. Kicks a 50-yard field goal against Georgia, misses it. They can't get field goals. They can't punt. Ohio State had one
penalty. In the big moments,
Ohio State had one penalty all game. It was on special teams. Did it affect the game? No, but it's on special teams. You're hiring a full.
So that's what I was thinking. I thought that was a very clean game, because I think Michigan maybe had 2 penalties on their side.
Yeah, so it was – Not many. And so, right, that's a problem. Okay, so the other problem, Ryan Day coaches the game like his job is on the line. And technically it is. But then you shouldn't call plays. Like, if you can't separate, and you're going to coach scared because your job is on the line. Mm-hmm. He coaches tight. And so it becomes a problem because you don't believe in your players, right? Okay, so kicking the 52-yard field goal, that's not the worst decision in the world, right? But your quarterback, for like the first time all season, steps up in the pocket, throws a dart 44 yards to Marvin Harrison Jr., catches it, he gets hit. You have all this momentum. You have one timeout and like 40 seconds left. You're rolling. You're the best wide receiver in the country. You're on like the 30-yard line. Why don't you try? Why don't you take one shot at the end zone? Call a timeout, take one shot at the end zone. If it doesn't work, call a slant to get 6 yards and make the field goal a 40-yarder. The dude's largest field goal in his career is 47 yards. You kicked 52. They can't guard Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay, so you call the timeout. You have 40 seconds left. It was probably like 36. You call a timeout. You take a deep shot to Marv. If it doesn't work, you have 28 seconds left.
Yep.
Maybe you take a second one because you can. If it doesn't work, you have 18 seconds left. Okay? So then, all right, doesn't work. I'm going to take
you my might not tight be able end. To get that second chance.
You will. It's 36 seconds. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. And okay. Remember, if you get the first down, it stops. The clock stops.
Yeah.
And then, even if you only do it once, if you don't think you can do the second one, you only do it once, whatever. Okay, so then you throw a 6, 7, 8 yard, 9, 10 yard out route where they catch the ball and they step out of bounds, and the kick is now 40 yards, 42 yards, 43 yards, not 52. A kick that your kicker has never made in a game. That's not believable. And then, but on the other side, what does Michigan do? They go for it on fourth down 3 times.
Yep.
They call a trick play to their running back, get 30 yards on it. They bring in their backup quarterback who hasn't played in like 5 games and give him a package. And it's none of that is special, right? None of that is particularly unique, but it is a sign that you trust your players.
Yep.
The point
and, of going and they for, trust you.
Right. So if you constantly tell your players in big games you don't trust them, It ruins the energy. What the energy in the
they game also
you go for it on fourth down, and you don't get it. The energy is different than if you don't go for it and you miss a kick nobody has ever seen him make.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. Today, that's the one that's, thing when you say the energy, because the energy I've seen the past couple years, especially after this game, it's like it's no big deal.
That's him. That's his fault. Yeah,
that's it. And that is him. That's what the one thing I give you is just Ryan Day gives off this energy that it's been shown in this players. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just one. It's just a game. And like some of them was like, we'll be fine next year. We'll get them next year. And then some of them are like,
that's the antithesis of the rivalry. And literally one of the reporters who was on the field, right? It's halftime. You're down 14 to 10. It's a good game. You're down 14 to 10 after you gave them the ball on a 7-yard line, right? Like, it could be so much worse.
Yeah.
The reporter says nobody talked going up the tunnel except one player.
Mm.
There was no, like, we're going to win this game. We got them right. Like, no, you played sports. You know, when a team is quiet, they don't believe in themselves.
Yeah, it's done.
But they're five-star athletes. They're NFL draft picks. Why don't they believe in themselves? Because you don't believe in them.
Yeah, and it's not enough. If some of them are looking ahead. You can tell.
I'm looking
to make that money.
If you throw the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. on fourth down and he drops it, you know what Marvin's going to say? He's going to say, you believed in me, coach. That's my bad. It won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he says when you don't even give him a chance? Oh, he doesn't believe in me. He doesn't think I can do it. He believed in a kicker over the best wide receiver in Ohio State history. Dang. And it's those things. You win or lose on the margin. Yeah, he's won 56 games, but how do you have faith that he can win the big games when he doesn't even have faith in the people that he recruited? He can't even fire a casual fan, and this is no disrespect to casuals, but a casual fan can tell that we have one of the worst special teams in the country. And you can't fire him? Like, you don't see it. It takes until it costs you games to see it. And so it's like, yeah, who's the guy? Who's this? Who's that? But that doesn't matter. We're at a point where I believe you should give someone else a chance, because Ryan Day has had 5 years to prove it, and he's proven he can't do it.
Yeah. I do say, I'll say, not only just to talk about Ohio State, I think Michigan did a really good job yesterday with just controlling the game. I think they were in control of the game. Even when you, like, Ohio State tied it, or I think took the lead, I forgot what it was, you could see that they were never wavered. They just controlled the game the entire time. I think JJ had a really good game. Mm-hmm. He made timely throws to get either close to the first down to go for it on fourth, or to get the first down. What were they, 4 for 4 on fourth?
I think it was 3 for 3. Mm-hmm.
Where did I see 4 for 4 for them?
I don't know. I think it was 3 for 3. Mm-hmm. And I want to give Michigan their credit, right? They played a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
don't turnovers.
I don't think Ohio State played a bad game.
Not really.
I think that this was two teams playing their best game, aside from the fact that Kyle McCord threw two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The interception, Kyle McCord, I genuinely believe that Ohio State played better as a collective. But Michigan didn't make the mistakes, and their coach believed in them when they needed to. And that was the difference of the game. Between those two interceptions, Kyle McCord missed like 2 or 3 passes all game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like 12 of 15 for like 200 something yards and 2 touchdowns in between those interceptions. But he threw the interceptions, and that is solely on him. Those weren't even plays that Michigan made. The interception was like, the dude, he was standing there, and then Kyle McCord in the interview was like, "Oh, I was looking at the linebacker. I didn't look at the corner." You don't look before you throw the ball? Like, what are we talking about? This is grade school things. You're throwing no-look passes on slants? That doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense. That wasn't like...
He just saw, he said something, he had someone barreling down on him.
No, not the first one.
Oh, the first one. Fair.
He didn't even look.
Yeah, and, no, you're right. The first one was... I remember I had just opened the game, and that happened immediately.
And the second one, if you want to credit to Michigan, that's fine. That's fine. Because they won, they hit him, the ball floated a little bit, he caught it. But that's still a Ryan Day problem. And you want to know why? Because Ryan Day continued to employ an offensive line coach who didn't like to recruit, who was nasty to players. Recruits literally dogged him. They're like, "I don't like him. We did like," and so they didn't have good offensive line recruits. And then he didn't develop them.
Mm-hmm.
So offensive line is one of the few positions where you need 2 or 3 years. So all the players right now that are playing, except the center, who's a year, who and actually is still technically tied to him. He identified him. He just didn't get a chance to finish out his recruitment. All the players that are playing right now, except the transfers, were the old guys. Mm. But he wasn't recruiting good players, and he wasn't developing them. So now you have this new offensive line coach who is trying to fix the mistakes of someone that it took Day too long to fire.
Yeah.
Do you know who doesn't? You know who doesn't let that sack happen? Paris Johnson Jr., who was a 5-star. There was no 5-star in the backup. Alabama has 5-star and 5-star tackle. Georgia, 5-star and 5-star tackle. Even Texas right now, 5-star and 5-star tackle. When you have it specifically wide receiver, DB, those things you can flip. Freshmen can play at those positions. They can't play. They can't play, especially in the Big Ten. They can't play as freshmen.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
At least it can't be that many.
Unless there's one and you didn't get him. So they can't play as freshmen. So even the freshmen who are good, they can't play. So you're playing with juniors that you don't trust, because you wouldn't fire the guy who wasn't developing and wasn't recruiting good players.
Messing up.
And so those are the things, like, you win or lose on the margin. As a whole pitcher, Ryan Day is a good coach. But the small things that you need to win at Ohio State, to win at the high level, he doesn't have it. An interim coach coaching the biggest game of his career was more relaxed and had more faith in his player.
Yeah,
five-year veteran.
He was more – he seemed like he knew he was going to win that game. He had not a worry.
You're a five-year vet. You have the best wide receiver in the country. You have the set – like, per talent ranking, they rank this. Mm-hmm. You have the second most talented team in the country. You have the first or second best defense in the country. And you can't be confident going into the game? You coach scared in the biggest game of your life? Yeah. And here's the thing. Ohio State's not going to fire him, right? They should, but they're not going to.
They're probably not going to.
So he needs – to give up play calling so that someone who isn't afraid of the moment can get in his ear and say, this is the play that I want to run, and I'm going to run this. Like, can we go for it on fourth? Can we do this? Can we do that? So you don't coach scared in these moments, because it's his job on the line and he's calling plays. So he's calling the safe plays because he doesn't want to get fired. Yeah. And it's causing a vicious cycle where he's going to get fired, and it's going to all be his fault because he's doing too much.
And it's not doing enough. It's a catch 22.
And so I don't want to talk about this no more. This is an Ohio State podcast. I'm writing articles with all of my thoughts on Ryan Day and all the different things. You can find them. You can follow me on Twitter at JordanW330. Like, it's all going to be there. But I just think that Ryan Day has showed us enough that he is not the guy. I think he could be the guy, but I don't think he's willing to do the things that needs to be done. He doesn't fire coaches fast enough. He doesn't evaluate himself well enough. He won't give up play calling. Like, he's just scared of the moment. And that's not bad. There's 130 other jobs where you don't need this moment. There's 130 other jobs where they would celebrate you winning 9-10 games a year. You can go to the NFL where you can lose 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. And if you make the playoff, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
And that's my biggest fear
for a while too, at least, depending on the team.
And that's my biggest fear with him, is that I've already seen Ohio State fans say, well, next year we'll make the playoffs, so it doesn't matter. What if we make the playoff this year? And my biggest fear is that we're gonna get to a point where beating Michigan doesn't matter because he makes the playoff every year.
Yep.
But it's Ohio State. Making the playoff every year doesn't matter. It's winning the national championship. That's what matters. That's like, we're not fucking Penn State. Penn State's going to be happy to make the playoffs. We're not.
Damn.
We're not.
They had to catch that string.
Because that's where their program's at. That's not a negative thing.
Yeah.
It's where their program is. We're not Mizzou, who has 10 games, who won 10 games this year and is like going to build a statue. We're not Michigan State, who had a coach who won 11 games and they gave him a 10-year contract. That's the bare fucking minimum. Yes, yeah. You're supposed to beat Rutgers. Yes, you're supposed to beat Penn State. Yes, you're supposed to beat Michigan State. That's the bare minimum. You're supposed to beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not Ohio State. You don't get praise for doing that. You get praise for beating Michigan, for beating Alabama, for beating Georgia, for beating the top of the sport. And he's 1-7 in those games.
True. But he ain't going to go anywhere anytime soon. Not for a while.
And that's what's frustrating. So I wrote an article. It was pretty scathing. It didn't mean to be. But when I started typing it, it's just my fingers were doing the talking. And there was some stuff that had to get off my chest. But I just laid out 10 things that I wanted to do that I think would give him a chance to succeed next year. Because he's going to be here. So there's no point in, there's a point in being mad about it, but there's no point in talking about him really being fired and things like that because he's not.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Especially if they find a way to sneak into the playoffs. It's really not going to happen. But I do think it was a good game overall. That game needs to be a night game one of these days, but it'll never happen.
No, that's the history of the game. It doesn't need to be a night game. It's perfect at noon. Besides the fact that it ruins the rest of my day, it's perfect at noon.
And that's why I think it should be a night game.
Nah.
But it was really, I was entertained the entire time. watching that game. Ryan, the problems that I've had that I thought would come up definitely came up, and they were mostly Ryan Day problems. And you're right about most about everything you said about him.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
I have one last thing to get off my chest. This is in defense of someone though. People, Common Core's not that bad.
He's really not. He's really not.
He has some flaws, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. He has some things that if he does not fix in the offseason, he does not deserve to be Ohio State's quarterback next year. I think that he didn't do enough to not warrant competition. Mm-hmm. So I would not be against them bringing in competition. I don't think there's going to be good enough quarterbacks out there to compete with him in the transfer portal because, as I've mentioned, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of good quarterbacks in the transfer portal.
Right.
This year. And I could be surprised, but the ones I've seen go in there so far, I wouldn't want them over Kyle McCord. I think that we have been spoiled because we had Justin Fields and we had CJ Stroud back to back. And so it's tough to see a quarterback who can't do the things that they can do, but that's not fair to him. And so I think that a lot of his flaws, if he genuinely cares and genuinely puts in the effort, I think a lot of his flaws can be fixed this offseason. Good for us. But I do understand.
Because again, I look at his overall stats. He only turned the ball over with four times this season.
It was six. It was four going six into times. The game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was four going into the game, and then he threw two interceptions.
Still not too bad. Can be better. It's not going to be. It's not CJ Stroud and all that, but I've seen much worse.
So significantly.
It's like by far. So shoot, the guy that was the front runner got more within. Yeah, in his season, what's his name in USC?
Caleb Williams.
Caleb, yeah. He at least got more turnovers. So it's just like certain stuff like that can be fixed, and he could easily turn the season around, or at least turn his OSU career around. Even though it's not much to turn around, it's just winning one extra game. Honestly,
yeah.
So
basically, I'm looking at his stats. So first of all, let me get to his actual stats. First of all, he 229 for 348, 65% completion percentage, 3,170 yards, 9.1 yards per attempt, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
That's good. That's good.
He
technically should be a Heisman candidate if we're being honest. But his receivers should be there. So
yeah, he's tied for 19th in touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He's tied for
ninth lowest in turnovers, I believe.
He's tied for 82nd in turnovers, but like the ties are weird because all the people who have one create. So it's, let's see, one
create two, that many people. Three, yeah.
4, 5, 6. He's seventh and tied for seventh in lowest interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is in the nation. He is 26th in completion percentage.
And I think he's pretty high in QBR, overall QBR as well.
Yeah. Let's see. Rating. He's 15th.
Mm-hmm.
He's 15th. Okay. So I just want to do this really quickly. Really quickly. I'm going to name the 15 people in front of him. Jaden Daniels, fifth-year starter. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, fifth-year starter. Jalen Milroe, his is fake because QBR in college includes rushing. His came from rushing. Caden Salter, I don't know much about him, but I do know that this kid has he has 700 less yards and an under 60% completion percentage. So I'm imagining his QBR comes from rushing as well. JJ McCarthy, second year starter. Dylan Gabriel,
second year starter.
Third or fourth, maybe he's been around for a while.
I was about to say that I think this is his third year starting. Yeah.
Caleb Williams started for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Carson Beck is the first.
Maybe year two starter. And a half for JJ.
No, JJ's 2.5 year. Mm-hmm. I give him a half because he played a lot his freshman year.
Yeah.
Carson Beck, who is a first year starter, he's in a similar position with Kyle in that he was there for like 3 or so years. His first year, Carson Beck was good. Yeah. Carson Beck was good. Carson Beck also has 6 interceptions and 4 less touchdowns.
So
he has more yards, better completion percentage, but like that's not a bad comparison. People were talking about Carson Beck going into the NFL draft. Noah Fifta, he's an Arizona kid. He's a redshirt freshman. He played great. He did. He played really good. Jordan McLeod, never heard of him. He's a senior. Michael Pratt, 3 or 4 year starter. Michael Penix Jr., 3 or 4 year starter. Yep. Jason Bean, Jason Bean threw the ball 105, had 171 times. That doesn't count. He has 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. His came from rushing. Jackson Dart has started a little bit, and then it's Kyle McCord.
Oh yeah.
He's not that bad.
I understand. You're just spoiled. A lot of yards is spoiled.
And it's fine to be spoiled. We did have that. That is true. He is not CJ Stroud. The last thing that I want to say, because this is the thing that pisses me off the most. There's a lot of people who don't. So, okay. You know, this is true. This is not a bad thing. This is true. Mm-hmm. You watch a team that you're a fan of more critically than you watch a team that you're not. Fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who are calling for quarterbacks who have been tied to Ohio State, but they don't actually watch the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
JJ, I don't think he's a better quarterback than Kyle McCord. JJ has one thing over Kyle, though. And so if you want that one thing, that's fine. No. Because he does a bunch of stupid shit too. It's his rushing ability. That like he saved them a little bit with being able to rush around
and is at timely moments too. So yeah.
And so like, okay, if you want JJ because of that, okay. I'm not mad at you for that, but you have to remember what JJ's first season looked like. And they don't remember that. Kyle McCord and JJ had very similar seasons this year, and this is JJ's second year as a starter.
Yeah.
So can Kyle not get better? Can he not get better? Like it's just frustrating that I understand.
Yeah. Everybody does
straight up, straight down.
It's the quick gratification. Everybody wants that quick gratification instead of just letting people develop.
Yeah. And the thing is, okay, it's fine. Straight up, straight down, Kyle McCord lost at that game, right? If he doesn't throw an interception, give him the ball on the 7 that they immediately score on, we win. Mm-hmm. He made a mistake. I'm not happy about it. And if they found him, I'm not even saying he's so good he can't be replaced. I've already said that's not the case. But people were just out on him. And it's just like, oh, he's a terrible quarterback. And it's like, I'm sorry, you don't know anything about football. Like, if that's your take, I understand being emotional as a fan and things like that. I'd be getting emotional as a fan. But if that's your take, you don't know anything about football. And so this is going to, and I apologize for the people because these are a lot of numbers. These are a lot of numbers, but I just want to get this out. One of the quarterbacks that they compare him to, of course, is JJ. Here's JJ's first year as a starter at Michigan. 64% completion. Kyle's a 60, about the same. 2,700 yards. Kyle has 31. 8.4 yards per attempt. That matters. Kyle's at 9.1. He had 22 touchdowns. Kyle had 24. He had 5 interceptions. Kyle had 6. So Kyle's is better. It's close, but Kyle's is better.
Yeah.
Okay. This year, this is JJ's second year, 75% completion. That's excellent. He threw for 2,400 yards, 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Concord, aside from completion percentage, Kyle McCord had a better year. Now, does that matter because one won the game and the other one didn't? No, but if you're talking about individual quarterbacks and one of them at Ohio State, you have to understand that these guys aren't going to do better. Quinn Ewers, the other guy that they're talking about, because Quinn was on the roster, then he transferred. His first season starting, 2,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. His QBR was 132. Kyle's is 161. His second year starting, that's this year, 69% completion, it improved. But again, it improved. It improved 11% in his second year, by the way.
Yeah.
If Kyle's went up 11%, his would be 76 next year.
Which isn't bad at all.
2,700 yards, less than Kyle. 17 touchdowns, less than Kyle. 5 interceptions, that's one less. He played 2 less games than Kyle. He has 5 interceptions. These quarterbacks are not markedly better than Kyle McCord.
They're not.
If you would name a quarterback that's better than Kyle McCord and you say, I want him, I'm fine with it because Kyle lost at this game. I am not a Kyle McCord defender, right? We've had better quarterbacks. We might be able to find better quarterbacks. I think he needs to earn this job again. I think they need to open the position.
He definitely does.
Competition. And if he wins it, he wins it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He hasn't done enough to be guaranteed the starter. But please stop asking for worse quarterbacks because you didn't actually watch them play and you don't actually know what their game is because you're not happy about a couple of things. Because despite Kyle McCord's flaws, he was one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the country this year. And I understand we typically have number one or two, but this is his first year starting. If he gets better, which he should, he'll be a top 5 quarterback next year.
Which he and I think he will. I think he will. I think everybody just needs to calm down.
So
I think everyone needs to calm down. You'll be all right.
Yeah, it's just super frustrating, and I hate to do the. I really hate to do the I know more ball than you kind of thing, but like,
I do.
And so many people try to argue with me, and I'm just like, you're an idiot. Like, and I wish this was just your emotions talking, but it's not. It's genuinely how you feel, and there's no way to fix that. You can't fix stupid. And if there's anyone that listens to this that is one of the people that argue with me, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you, but like, and I'm not saying that Kyle McCord is the best quarterback in the world. He's not. But what I've seen and what I've watched, all of his flaws, except maybe one, can be fixed if he puts in the time. If he doesn't put in the time, he needs to go. But all the quarterbacks that you want to start over him were worse than him in his first season.
They're not much better.
And that's just fact. And they're not much better in their second. If better at all. So it's the Quinn Ewers thing is hilarious because Quinn Ewers can't throw a deep ball to save his life. The only time he threw a deep ball in his 2 years starting is against Alabama. And that's the only game of his people watched. And if you watch the game, he looked like a great quarterback. But like, Ohio State fans would be ready to cut off his head if they watched him overthrow Marvin Harrison Jr. on deep balls every time they threw one.
they'd be begging for Kyle to come back.
Like, you don't watch him. You don't watch it from the lens of a fan. You don't watch it from the lens of this is my team. You just and you're not looking at the stats because the stats aren't better. So many people are stats guys, and the stats aren't better.
They're not.
So you're not watching them play, and you're not looking at the stats. So what is your opinion based off of?
Who knows?
It's just based off hating something you don't know enough about because you're emotional about it. And listen. I'm not talking about nobody's emotions. I'd be in a real bad mood when Ohio State loses. Don't check my Twitter. I haven't stopped talking about this yet. It's Monday. It's all I've been talking about.
Oh yeah, no, he gets upset. It's hilarious.
It's just like, come on. It's just like, come on. Like, there are real things to complain about, and people are focusing on the wrong things. And I'm done because if I say anything else, I'll be here forever. I haven't even talked about the people complaining about the defense because we've talked too much about Ohio State and we haven't talked enough about Michigan to give them their credit. And I get it. I'm an Ohio State fan, whatever happens. But like Michigan, they won the game. credit to them, credit to JJ. I don't think Michigan played a spectacularly great game. I don't think Ohio State played a spectacularly great game. I think they played at an equal level.
I think they played a great game because they played the game they needed to play to beat, to win that game. It was solid. It was, yeah, no, because it was solid football.
Yeah, it doesn't make it a great game. I'm not disparaging them by saying that. Like, neither one, I don't think, played their A game. But Michigan made the plays in the key moments when they needed to, and their coach believed in them. And they paid him back for believing in him.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question. Was it an interception or a touchdown?
What are you talking about?
You didn't. You don't remember the one that was an interception, but they called a touchdown?
I'm not. No, I'm lost.
So that was like the biggest play of the game.
For some odd reason, can't. I must have missed it on an accident.
So JJ drops back. He fits a ball. Oh my God. The window was like super tiny.
Mm-hmm.
He fits the ball in. Dude catches it, but he doesn't have firm control. And then they go into the end zone, and Ohio State ends up with the ball. So they're looking, and like, not like he's on the ground for like 5 minutes and they rush to the ball out. Like, they both hit the ground. Ohio State has the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a touchdown. They go to review and they maintain that it's a touchdown. But if you look at it in real time and slow motion, he never has full control. And then the Ohio State cornerback comes up with the ball and they call it a touchdown.
Oh,
that's 7 points right there. Like, that call changed the outcome of the game. And I'm not, like, this isn't complaining. Don't let the ref get into it. They still had a chance to win, whatever. But, like, that call hurt because I'm going to try to send it to you so you can watch it. Although it's not going to show as much because if you have the game recorded, go back and watch it. I'll even try to figure out when it was. It was in the third quarter. I know that. But when you look at all the replays and things like that, it's like as soon as he catches the ball, the Ohio State DB comes and like swipes at the ball. So there's never a moment where he has firm control and the ball is tucked, because as soon as he catches it, the ball gets swiped and he has to readjust. He takes his steps, he's readjusting, and then they hit the ground and the ball is in the cornerback's hand. But they called it a touchdown. So it was tough. There was a lot of things that didn't go Ohio State's way. There, like on one of the drive, on the final drive where there was 7 minutes, there was a blatant, and I mean blatant, offensive pass interference. Like, dude ran up, two hand pushed him, turned around and caught the ball. But someone tried to make these complaints in my mentions, and I said I was in middle school and my coach told me don't be in a position where the refs can ruin the game for you.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this much. That is barely, if at all, called. It happens every single play.
Now, I know,
Jordan. Right. It's very rarely called. I'll tell you right now, as a DB, as a DB, wide receivers cause most of the pass interference in the game, but it's rarely called. It's rarely called. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'll tell you right now, I've seen Marvin Harris get away with like blatant obvious pushoffs and nothing be called. So
it happens.
Doesn't get called.
And
it
that's does and that's not get called, yeah. Really. I will say that one of all the ones that should have been called. Largely because of the, like, it was, I've almost haven't seen one more blatant than that. Like, it wasn't even like they were both fighting. And I understand your point. Like, I'm not complaining about it. It happens. I'm just saying, like, I just can't believe they missed that. But this was just even in the NFL, this was a bad week for officiating. There were like many calls. This was like a particular one where it's like, bro, where are you looking at? And then there's like screenshots and the ref is looking somewhere else. And it's like, dog, I know your job. You're supposed to be looking in this area. How did you miss this? Regardless, man, Michigan 3 in a row. They're going to get beat up on Iowa.
Yep.
And I hope they enjoy it because they're fucked this offseason.
Yep.
They might lose their head coach. They might lose offense and or defensive coordinator to other jobs because they've been successful. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose like 27 seniors plus whatever underclassmen go. And the NCAA is going to run through their program because of the cheating scandal. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be a rough one.
And I'm happy about it. But for the Ohio State fans that are like, this loss doesn't matter because they're going to be decimated next year. Weak.
You want to the whole problem.
Yeah, you want to beat them.
That's the problem, right?
You want to beat them at their best, not when they've been decimated by the NFL draft and the NCAA.
That's their problem. That's your problem right there. That's the Ryan Day thing right there. Sick. You're just as bad.
He's poisoned the fan base, bro. I'm tired of it. Any final thoughts on the any final thoughts in the game or anything else?
Nah.
I will say, oh God, I wish it was next year because we'd get a rematch in the Big Ten Championship game. That's a game I want to see next week. I know people don't like are you pro or anti-rematch?
I'm pro-rematch, especially if there's a chance that it could happen three times.
Oh,
because you get the game, you get the Big Ten Championship rematch, and then you could see each other in the playoffs.
I need it.
Like, it could happen three times.
Yeah, it's just so many people are like, it ruins the sanctity of the game. I don't care. I want to see it again. I
think it just makes the rivalry
much, I want to see it again.
Stronger.
Oh my bro, like the you beat me, you're not gonna do it again with bigger stakes versus the we just whooped your ass and we about to do it again. Like that mindset, that clash of like, we just beat you, bro. We about to come spank that ass again. And then the other side is like, nah, this happened. Like, I'm coming out, I'm about to play my like, oh, I don't want to see Michigan play Iowa. It means nothing. Give me the game again. Give me the game again. Like, oh my god, like the I can't understand people who are anti-rematch. Could you imagine the week of content we would have if they were playing next week and they had to do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan are talking shit. They're like, you couldn't stop us on 7 minutes. We're going to do it again. We learned your weaknesses. Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. And Ohio, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, y'all can't block me. Like, y'all can't block me.
You know, I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. I don't know if Ohio State really care enough. I don't think this team and this coach cares enough.
I don't fully agree with that. I think this year has shown me that the coach cares too much.
Mm.
And he cares in the wrong way. And so I think that's why they play tight. I think he understands the importance and it comes out as a negative. Like one of the things that Sherrone Moore said, he's like, the kids come here to play the game. Why wouldn't I let them loose and just let them play?
Mm-hmm.
Where Ryan Day, I heard on a podcast, they were talking about Kyle McCord in the pregame was like, don't make mistakes. Don't make mistakes. Like he said it like 3-4 times, like trying to hype them for the game. I do think they understand the importance. And I think because of Ryan Day's personality and his anxiety, it causes him to get tight. So I genuinely this game, I think showed me that he does care, but I think he cares a little too much and he doesn't fully understand. He doesn't fully understand it. And so, Ryan Day, for all of his flaws, and there are some, the worst version of him comes out when he plays Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And it's happened three times in a row.
And I'm scared it's going to happen again because the pressure just keeps building the more you lose.
The more you lose, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not gonna say that I don't think they understand the rivalry. I think they do. And because of how the coach views it, he's putting so much pressure on them that they're no longer having fun with it. And then they're too tight. And then he doesn't believe in them. And then it just spirals.
Fair.
So.
Yeah.
All right. That's my last thing in the game. Quick hitter. Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota all lost. They all needed a win over their rival to get a bowl game. Nobody won.
Tragic, tragic, tragic.
Yeah, it's crazy. So they're all 5-7. So
pissing me off, Illinois.
Yeah, that was tough.
I gave up on that a while ago.
Yep. So before we get out of here, final conference standings: Michigan 12-0, 9-0 in the conference. Ohio State 11-1, 8-1. Penn State 10-2, 7-2. Maryland 7-5, 4-5. Rutgers 6-6, 3-6. Michigan State 4-8, 2-7. Indiana 3-9, 1-8. On the other side, this is rough. Iowa 10-2, 7-2. Northwestern and Wisconsin are both 7-5, 5-4 in conference. Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota are all 5-7, 3-6 in conference. And Purdue is 4-8, but is also 3-6 in conference. The West sucks. The West sucks. It's awful. And the Big Ten had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 out of 14 teams go bowling. Not a banner year. Not a great
day. How many teams have winning records on the East?
Four have winning, and one is 6-6. Mm. So 5 of 7 teams on the East are going bowling.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. So that's it for that. Really quickly, my pit stop. I don't know how long you're going to go on yours, but mine is very quick. The Colts might make the playoff, and I hate it. It's cool for the players. It's cool for the organization. Like, I understand. I understand you don't actually tank and you build for the future and things like that. But this is a good draft to have a high pick, and we're not going to have one. Not even just like I wanted Marvin Harrison Jr., which I really did. And when the quarterback got injured, like, if Anthony Richardson didn't get injured, I like, yeah, okay, I want to make the playoffs. But he did. This is the perfect year to, like, trade the number two pick for someone that wants a quarterback, go to like 5 and get a generational talent. They're gonna fuck around, make the playoffs, losing the first round, which just doesn't matter. If you make the playoffs, losing the first round, it doesn't matter. And they're gonna like pick like 21. And it's not that it's not gonna be a good player, but it's not gonna be a generational talent. It's annoying.
But let's hope they keep it at Mike and they just don't. Because they don't need to. Not this year.
Yeah, but they have the easiest remaining schedule in the league.
Damn.
I know. Sick. Mm. Tyler. I don't even watch them play anymore. I was watching the Texans play.
Damn.
Because CJ Stroud's been playing good. I don't even watch the games.
That's crazy.
I pay for it because no one wants to watch Gardner Minshew. He sucks. He's awful. But he won't lose. All right, what's your pit stop?
Man, my pit stop is that the Steelers finally fired Mike Canada. Woo! After, I think, 5 years of straight garbage offense. And then I think it's kind of hilarious that the game after that, they have 400 and something yards as an offense. Kenny Pickett throws for over 230 yards. We don't finish the drives. That's the next step. That's the next step, is to finish these drives. But to be able to get 400 yards, it proved that even if Matt Canada is a good offensive coordinator for somebody else, he just wasn't good enough for that core, and it just the face needed to go. He needed to go, and I'm happy he did. I think we're gonna get a good enough offense just in time to scare people in the playoffs.
That would be awful. But you have a black head coach, so shout out to him for always figuring it out.
Yeah, because we still have a good enough defense, and now all those players are coming back that from injury. And also from – we just got our tight end back too, who had a great game. He had over 100-something yards catching. So I think we turn it around just in time because we have an easy schedule to finish out the year. We face Arizona and Carolina in this next two games. Yeah, so like I think it's Arizona and Carolina or Arizona and somebody else, but both of the teams we go up against only have 2 wins in the next week. may have a combined four win. So we can use these games to get our offense going and figure out how to score on drives and finish out drives. We can get hot at the right moment. You never know. You never know. Some team loses to a team too early in the playoffs when they weren't supposed to. You never know. We could be something. Like, have y'all beat the Chiefs on accident in the playoffs?
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, help us.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Because we ain't got to worry about the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just beat them, and they have a really, really bad AFC North record. They can't get ahead of anybody in the AFC North.
But that's the thing. The Bengals, they're about to suck, and the Bengals are going to fuck around and get, like, the 9th or 10th pick and get Joe Burrow coming back. And they're going to get, like, a freaking generation. They're going to get, like, Olufashano and have an all-pro left tackle for the next 15 years.
Yeah, they're going to figure out something. That's going to be
why nice. Us? This was the year, bro. Like,
you sound like me last year. I was like, just be terrible.
Because being in the middle is the worst place to be in the NFL.
All the time. It's the worst place to be in any league, too, because it's bad to be that in the NBA.
It's worse in the NBA because there's only like two or three good players in the NBA draft ever.
The NBA sometimes it's none. Like, honestly, sometimes it's none. So, the NBA
draft is awful.
Yeah, so, like, bro. Hey,
being in the NBA and having to draft a team, like, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, so you sound like me last year and a year before. It was like, just be bad. Just be terrible. You can really be, just do that, please. They're not going to fire you, Mike Tomlin. You know your job is secured. Just be terrible.
Yeah, just one time, bro. Just
one time, please, for the love of God.
Or at least be willing to trade up.
Something.
At least be willing to trade
please.
Up.
Please.
Yeah. But all right, I think that's it. Thank you again, as always, for listening. For those new to the show, we appreciate you. We will go regularly all the way through the national championship, and then we may take a week or so off. And then in the offseason, I can't believe I have to have this conversation already. In the offseason, we reverse our tiers. So we re-rank teams in tiers based on how the season went. That gets us through like a month or so as just a recap of the season, talk about the things we liked and didn't like. And then we get into spring ball. And then we take periodic breaks here and there because it's hard to talk about, you know, this.
It's hard to talk about absolutely nothing.
And then when it flips to July and August, which will be here before you know it, the season's back, baby. We'll probably have we always do like drafts. We always do coach rankings. Yeah. We'll definitely be talking about all the changes in the sport. So stay here, tune in, lock in. But you can expect some regular version of the show up and through the new year because games will still be played.
Yeah, still be going on.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.